Well, as many of you know, and this is just being transparent here, Tri-State Public Communications, a 501c3 not-for-profit, operates and runs WHDD, AM and FM, WLHV, FM, WHDD, FM 97.5, and we lease WBSL, FM 91.7, and we also operate the Bargain Barn to raise funds. And we also have underwriting from area businesses. And we're going to talk about the Sharon Hospital in New Vance Health. And just so everybody knows that, of course, we do have underwriting agreements with New Vance Health. And just wanted to make this as transparent as possible. People have asked us, why do we do interviews with the Sharon Hospital? Is they request them. And when they request them, if we can fit them into the schedule, we do. And I'm very pleased right now. We're going to present a different look at this story, other than the Sharon Hospital's look and other than New Vance Health look. We've got with us Victor Jermak. Now, Victor, and I have something in common simply because I've been at the radio station, for such a long time. And Victor's, been involved in the case of Sharon Hospital. This goes all the way back, to when Essent Healthcare filed to buy Sharon Hospital and turn it to a for-profit hospital. Victor got involved then and has been constantly involved. And Victor, we were just talking before we started recording. How many years is this now?
It's been since 2000.
Amazing. It is 2022. And we have seen the hospital before all of this when it was a nonprofit. We've seen the hospital when it was a for-profit, or we now see it back as a not-for-profit. And all along this journey, Victor, even before, like I said, when originally Essent Healthcare was taking over, you were the person that took a look other than just plain healthcare. You looked into the fiduciary. You looked into the money. You looked into everything that goes into that over the. So I would think that you're one of the most qualified people really to talk about the position of Sharon Hospital, not necessarily New Vance Health itself, but Sharon Hospital. You're probably one of the most well-versed persons to talk about this.
I'm sure I'm probably one of them. You know, back in 2000, Sharon Hospital was the first hospital in the state to be sold, to a for-profit company. It was a startup from Nashville, Tennessee. And at the time, there were 31 local hospitals, independent acute care hospitals. Today, 22 years later, there's about four or five left. The rest are owned by about four major hospital chains operating in the state of Connecticut. So there's been an incredible amount of change. And consolidation across the United States and, of course, also in the state of Connecticut.
Now, when we look at the situation of Sharon Hospital and New Vance Health, we hear some pretty staggering statistics that come from New Vance Health. And we look around and we also see in association with that, as I was just talking with someone the other day on the air, at 69 years of age, I never thought I'd be sitting here wondering whether or not I was going to have a local doctor in our area when I get to be 79 years of age. This all goes hand in hand, but let's go back to Sharon Hospital and New Vance Health. They claim they're losing $41 million a year. I want to get your opinion on this.
Well, they had a consulting group called Stroudwater Associates that did a study last year, came up with the figure of $41 million that the hospital has lost within the last 5 years. And we looked into it. I have a financial forensic accounting background, and one of my associates is a former retired partner of Price Waterhouse. And we looked at these numbers and we concluded that the numbers were wildly exaggerated. When we dug into it, we found that the hospital does procedures. In other words, the doctors associated with Sharon Hospital recommend procedures be done. They're not done at the hospital. They're done at, let's say, Poughkeepsie, which is the major hospital for New Vance in Poughkeepsie, Vassar Brothers. And when we looked at it, we realized that in 2019, we never got systems credit for $5.3 million in procedures performed, ordered by Sharon doctors, performed at other New Vance hospitals. In addition, was another $1 million in tests that were ordered by Sharon Hospital physicians, but performed at other New Vance hospitals because they had closed the lab at Sharon Hospital. So that's $6.3 million just in that 1 year. And then we dug a little bit further. We added up the hospital credits. In other words, Sharon Hospital never got credit for the CARES Act. That's a federal program. In 21, they got $7.5 million. We never got credit for that. So if you add up all of these numbers, these savings and credits, in addition, we found that New Vance charged Sharon Hospital $5 million in one-time corporate overhead expenses in 21. When we went to the hospital and we sat down with them, we said to them, please explain this to us. Well, they tried, but they never really fully explained it to us. And frankly, they never supported those numbers. So when you add all that up, it comes to millions of dollars of savings we should have been credited with, but never were. So when we presented these to New Vance management, they acknowledged that the $41 million should have been reduced by $10.5 million, or approximately 26%. It's still our contention that these losses are still overstated, dramatically overstated, and we believe the benefits contributed by Sharon Hospital to New Vance are still considerably understated. Now, the only way to really get to what the real number is Sharon Hospital showing a small profit? Are they showing a break even or a loss, a small loss? Only a detailed forensic audit could truly ascertain the correct number.
Now, is that something that you can ask for in the hearings with the state of Connecticut?
Well, if that could be raised as an issue. They are suggesting, and maybe to your audience, I will add just to kind of summarize what is happening at Sharon Hospital. Sharon Hospital has asked the state for permission through a certificate of need process. This is where they go to the state and you say, look, we want to add a service or drop a service. In this case, they're asking the state regulators, who is the Office of Health Strategy in Hartford, they're asking them for permission to close maternity, labor and delivery. They're asking them to reduce the level of care in intensive care, okay, at the emergency care. And they also want to reduce the numbers of surgery, the hours in which the surgery will operate, surgery department. Now, they have to get approved by the state. In other words, the certificate of need process is a complicated procedure. It's filed with the state. And it takes a long time. There's generally a public hearing. It'll probably run anywhere between 10 to 12 months, could even be longer, as these certificate of need applications have just been filed by New Vance.
So what's, you know, right now we are in the beginning stages, according to what you're saying here, will be a long struggle. In that time, does New Vance have to hold steady at what they're doing, or do they slowly chip away at it?
Well, you've asked the $64 question. When they announced last September, October, when the consultant's report came out, they announced they were going to close maternity in late spring. And then, of course, the nurses being, you know, like any other human beings, they want to guarantee their working conditions and so forth. The OBGY nurses started to leave. There were seven of them in the staff, seven or eight, and we've lost a good number of them. Now they're filling them in with what they call traveling nurses or travelers. These travelers are bloody expensive. they're roughly $200 to $225 an hour. It's a very uneconomic way to run the hospital. And if they're claiming they have a loss, that's the worst way to do it. Now, they've had some payments that they've said, we're going to give two payments, you know, if the nurses stay. But a number of the nurses, obviously, concerned for their continued employment, have left. So, and then the hospital started to send letters out to the maternity patients of the OBGYNs operating at the hospital, which wasn't cricket. And in other words, further accelerating the process, even though we still have adequate staff and we still have an ongoing maternity operation. In other words, they're trying to game the system is basically what it is. The same thing with intensive care. They started already to change their intensive care policies, referring patients to other hospitals, et cetera. Now, the doctors have protested against this. We wrote to the Office of Health Strategy. We said, this is what's going on. This isn't cricket. And the OHS has started investigations into this, into these procedures. Why has it happened? And they've asked for information from Nuvance, and they're trying to investigate the procedures involved in this. Did they jump ahead? Did they game the system? It's an open investigation at this point, but they're on record.
You know, take a step back here, seeing as you've been associated with all different phases of this since 2000. Well, you know, in the timeline, in your opinion, how did the Sharon Hospital get here? I mean, I can say that as someone whose family has used that hospital. I'm 69. I've been in the hospital numerous times. My local physicians, knee surgery, regular surgeries. I mean, to me, it seems a nightmare situation. How did we over the past 20 years get into this nightmare situation?
Well, you know, Marshall, there's no simple, easy answer to all of this. It's a combination of things. Hospitals have become much more cost conscious. They've tried to control costs as best they can. Some of them have really want to use these hospitals, these rural hospitals, as feeder hospitals and enhance their profitability. That's one thing we feel. And so community groups like the group I just belong to, which is fighting to save Sharon Hospitals, called Save Sharon Hospital. And we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we're trying to, we've hired a healthcare attorney to represent us and to fight for our interests and the interests of the community. How's this all started? And what are the things that this hospital has been, Sharon Hospital has been acquired and sold, merged and sold probably now four or five times. In 2018, Sharon Hospital was sold and acquired by HealthQuest. HealthQuest was the name for the Vasa Healthcare in New York, which is composed of three hospitals, Vasa Brothers being the biggest in Poughkeepsie. And a year later, they merged with Western Connecticut Health Network, which is composed principally of Danbury Hospital, New Milford, and Norwalk. And they changed the name to Nuvance. When they went before the state, as a condition of their consolidation of this, these two hospitals chains coming together, they said that they had to keep all the services going. That's emergency room, inpatient, obstetrics and gynecology, and critical care units for 5 years. Well, they didn't wait for 5 years. They've already decided they want to start, and this is in 19, so that's through 2024. They've already announced they want to change these services and eliminate some of them. That's against the agreement that they committed to with the state when the state approved their merger.
Is there any, as a member of Save Sharon Hospital and the people that are on Save Sharon Hospital, what is the alternative? It seems like the public is being backed into a corner here.
Well, I think what we have done, we have spoken with State Attorney General William Tong, and we've protested this, and he's completely with us, because we're not the only hospital in the state that's under pressure to close labor and delivery in emergency room. Wyndham Hospital, their labor and delivery was closed about 2 years ago, and they've been fighting this. And, you know, asking patients, women who are in labor or are going to go in labor, to travel an additional 25 to 45 minutes to undergo a major medical procedure at another hospital is not a mere inconvenience. It creates additional burden and risk for an already vulnerable mother and her baby. So, I mean, you know, it's not fair to the women. It hurts women's rights. More importantly, it hurts the health of women. Now, I think it's very unfair. And it goes against the kind of good care that we have at Sharon Hospital. You know, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology conducted a complete review of Sharon Hospital's labor and delivery unit in 2021 and said that it was highly qualified to provide obstetric care, and everything should be done to preserve this labor and delivery unit. Sharon Hospital provides good service. They got a 5-star rating from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid. However, if Sharon Hospital keeps reducing these services, they'll no longer be a full service hospital, and then doctors are going to leave. You know, when the acquisition was approved, they agreed they were going to increase the number of primary care physicians and specialty care physicians. Not only did they not increase the number of primary care physicians, we've lost several primary care physicians, and the number of specialists have actually gone down as well. So we're in a very difficult shape, and it's because of policies, I believe, and we believe at New Vance and at Sharon Hospital.
I'll bring up a point that people have talked about, and that are the huge salaries. This is where people can get their eyes open a little bit. The huge salaries at the top of the chain of New Vance Health, and they see those salaries, and then they look at what New Vance claims they're losing at Sharon Hospital, and they say very simply, well, how can they afford to pay the top tier of New Vance that type of money?
Well, it's a real issue. The CEO of New Vance, believe it was the last reported year in which we had information on, was making well over $10 million for a combination of both a salary and also benefits received because of the merger with the Poughkeepsie Hospital chain, New Vance. So, I mean, you know, you put those things together and you say to yourself, for instance, in 2020, John Murphy earned more than $12 million in fringe benefits, significantly more than the $82 million in fringes he earned in 19. And in 20, he earned more than $2.6 million in total compensation. Now, that's a lot of money. And you know, this is I don't criticize any person's compensation, but you have to put it in the context of what we have. If he's going to make that type of high paid position that he's earning, right, then he should provide for the essential services and not let the people who are the least equipped to cope suffer. And that's unfortunately what we have.
And with your Sharon Hospital, let's talk about the role of Save the Sharon Hospital. I mean, it is a grassroots community organization. But you know what? When they first started out, I feel that Save Sharon Hospital is a much stronger, much more informed and better equipped organization to go to the state and fight for the people with Sharon Hospital?
Well, we really have tried to empower the community residents with knowledge, with a knowledge base, educate them. Number two, we've tried to reach out to all of our elected representatives to let them know what's happening and to fight for us. Maria Horn has done a fabulous job in setting up these meetings, in fighting for us and representing us. And I think it's an important thing. I mean, we all have to work together to let Nuvance know that they have to change their attitude and their policies. And they have to be more patient-centric. I will say this, what I have heard is that the nurses, we got great nursing care and great physician care at Sharon Hospital. We don't want that to continue. We don't want the services to be reduced, as they've started to do already. And that's something that I think that we have to get everyone involved in the community to fight for. Because, you know, it's something, Marshall, that is so important to us, particularly as people get older. At both ends of the life spectrum, coming into this world and leaving this world and getting very sick, we have to have good doctor care. And we have good doctor care, but they should be allowed to do their job.
When you're speaking right now to the average community member that's listening, what can you tell them? What can they do and what should they do about what's going on at the hospital?
Well, what I would say this is I have a couple of pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is we have a Sharon Hospital Advisory Board, and I would like those guys to be more transparent, to more truly represent the interests and be more aligned with the community's interests. I know they're people of goodwill. I know they have the best interests of the community at heart, but they really have to look at it more through the eyes of the community. That's number one. Number two, I would say that folks should pay attention to what's being done, write to their representatives, help support Save Sharon Hospital and money and what have you, in whatever ways they can, and it's on our website, and try to be involved in these meetings. And that's, you know, we will try and work with everyone in the community to try and make this happen. Look, we know things cost money. We want to work with the hospital in a spirit of partnership, okay? But they have to meet us more than halfway. We want to work with them. But then they can't be going off closing operations and departments with state regulations and the commitments that they have made.
Well, once again, if people want more information on Save Sharon Hospital, their web address is savesharonhospital.org. That's savesharonhospital.org. You will also find them on Facebook as well. And Victor, I'm going to lean on you here to keep us updated and informed, especially when these hearings open up. So we can translate some of the stuff that comes out of the state when these hearings start into things that people that are listening to the radio can really grab a hold of and understand.
Well, I want to thank you and the station, Marshall, for your commitment to this. You know, trying to keep people alerted and informed, and an informed electorate is the only way we can absolutely have good democracy and we can have good service and good health in our community. So I want to thank you for that.
Victor, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
Thank you very much, Marshall.